Brothers and sisters, every year on the third Sunday of Lent, Holy Mother Church reflects upon Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well, and she does so as the first of three scrutinies for those who are preparing to be baptized at the Easter Vigil. The three scrutinies that we celebrate on the third, fourth, and fifth Sundays of Lent are, according to the Rite for Christian Initiation of Adults, are meant to uncover and then heal all that is weak, defective, or sinful in the hearts of the elect. It strikes me that this practice of uncovering and healing all that is weak, defective, and sinful in one's life is something that we should expect not only of the elect, but of each member of the church. In fact, the process of uncovering and healing our sinfulness is one of the major themes of Lent. Lent is, as Bishop Metano reminded us, a season of penance. And the goal of penance is not to make ourselves feel worse about our sins, but to be healed from all that prevents us from embracing the graces that God desires to bestow upon us. The scrutiny readings that we hear today and over the next two Sundays are a good starting point for examining our lives in an honest manner so that we can be healed and grow closer to God. And so as we reflect on this gospel, let us do so with the intent of scrutinizing our own lives. The gospel encounter begins with Jesus approaching the Samaritan woman, and he asks for something to drink. Simple enough, yet this would have been wrought with tension for a first century Jew. Jesus had violated not one but two social customs. He, a man, was publicly engaging a woman in conversation, and he, a Jew, was encountering and speaking to a Samaritan. The Samaritan woman doesn't miss this at all. And she's rather put off by Jesus. In fact, she's downright offended by his blatant disregard for the social mores. What gall this Jew has speaking to her, a Samaritan. Well, it's not obvious in the English translation. The Greek translation of this text shows the edge in the woman's voice. It enhances and shows the racial tension between the Samaritans and the Jews when she says, "How is it that you, a Jew, are speaking to me, a Samaritan?" This woman is clearly offended by Jesus. Well, friends, isn't this the way it seems to always go? God comes to his people only to find them offended at him. As we scrutinize our lives, don't we have to admit that at times we find ourselves offended by God, or by his laws, or by his church? Of course, none of this deters God, not in the least. Completely ignoring the woman's offensive tone, Jesus continues speaking with the woman, and he speaks to her of living water that he can provide. In doing so, he stirs up a longing within her. Blessed John Paul the Great says that the Lord awakened in the Samaritan woman a question, almost a prayer for something greater than she was capable of understanding. Having her heart opened a little bit, the woman addresses Jesus in a more polite manner, saying, "Sir, give me this water." Again, isn't that how God works in our lives? He gradually opens our hearts to him, and it stirs up a longing within us so that we ask him for this living water. Now, of course, the woman doesn't fully understand what it is that Jesus is offering. She's still concerned about her physical needs, whereas Jesus is offering her something that transcends the physical realm, the opportunity for salvation, for eternal life with him. Knowing that the woman has failed to grasp his identity, Jesus further reveals himself, and he does so by revealing to the woman her private affairs, her own sinfulness. And again, the woman becomes even more open to this revelation. And this time, she addresses Jesus not as Sir, but as a prophet. And she poses to him a question about the Messiah. Finally, when Jesus reveals to her that he is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Samaritan woman feels impelled to share her excitement at having encountered the Messiah with all the other townspeople, and she invites them to come and see. Friends, this is the same pattern that we see in our lives. Whenever we encounter Jesus, we're always forced to look at the reality of our own sin. Think of St. Peter when he encountered Christ and upon recognizing who Christ was, said to him, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." The Samaritan woman is forced to encounter the reality of her sinfulness and her many affairs with these men. Likewise, when we have a true encounter with the Lord, we become more aware of our sins as opposed to trying to justify them. And Jesus forces us to face our sins, not so that we will feel bad about ourselves, but so that we can be healed. He desires to awaken a thirst in us, not for water that comes from an earthly source, but for living water, the Holy Spirit that provides true life. When we receive this living water, we are necessarily transformed. And no longer will we be able to remain silent, but instead we will go out into the world proclaiming what Christ has done. For a true encounter with Christ is always followed by a proclamation of what he has done. You know, even when Jesus healed people and asked them to remain silent, they couldn't do so. And neither can we. Our faith cannot be silent. Our faith cannot be a private matter. It needs to be publicly proclaimed. In his apostolic exhortation to the church in America, Blessed John Paul II reflected upon this very gospel passage. And he commented that proclaiming Christ doesn't simply mean teaching what we have come to know, but also, like the Samaritan woman, enabling others to encounter Jesus personally. Come and see. This is what Blessed John Paul II meant by the new evangelization. As people who have encountered Christ, we, like the Samaritan woman, must run off and tell everyone we know about this encounter that we've had, inviting them to come and see. And as Catholics, we do this by inviting people into the Mass. Many of you, a few weeks ago, or may have been a couple months at this point, made a personal commitment to the Lord. And as part of that personal commitment, some of you might have checked off that box that said that you would invite somebody to come and see, invite somebody to Mass. I see some heads being shaken right here. Is this somebody we invited? Well, welcome. And we're glad to have people with us. We're glad to have people come and see. And wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us could do this and we would have an increase in our congregation here? See, when we invite people to come and see, we invite them to encounter Christ. Christ is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the tabernacle and on the altar. And he's present not just for those who are able to receive communion. He's present to all of us. We all encounter Christ, whether or not you're able to receive communion. Because after the consecration, the priest holds up the Eucharist. And in doing so, he allows the people to make what is called a communio per ocula, a communion with the eyes. We encounter Christ at that very moment. This is what the priest means when he says the mystery of faith, and the people respond. It's this encounter that we're having with Christ. And this makes the Catholic Church different from so many other churches. Because a lot of other churches, they have down the part of teaching about Christ. But what the Catholic Church provides is an opportunity to encounter Christ, truly present in the sacrament of the Eucharist. Many other churches may talk about forgiveness and encourage people to pray to God for forgiveness of their sins. But in the Catholic Church, through the sacrament of penance, we have the ability to encounter Christ and to truly experience his mercy, to truly be forgiven of our sins. And this is important because what we learn from this is that our faith is not built upon abstract theological concepts or some man-made philosophy. Our faith is built primarily upon an encounter with Jesus Christ, an encounter that transforms our lives in such a way that he becomes the focal point of everything that we do. If you truly believe that Christ is present in the sacrament of the Eucharist, how could you not go out into the world and insist that everyone you know come and see? If you truly believe that sins can be forgiven through the sacrament of penance, how could you not share that good news with everyone that you meet? Blessed John Paul the Great ended his apostolic exhortation to the church in America by stating that if we engage this new evangelization, if we proclaim to the world what we encounter in the sacraments, the result will be the same as that which took place in the hearts of the Samaritans, who said to the woman, "It's no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." So today, after this encounter with Christ, don't just go home and remain silent about what has happened. Go and tell everyone in Waverly what has happened, and invite them to come and see. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who heal others by bringing them to Christ.